If you turn, please, in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel in the New Testament, Mark chapter 9. We'll take up the reading at verse 14 to the end of verse 29. That's Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading from verse 14. This is the word of the Lord. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away, and I spake to thy disciples that they should not cast him out, and they could not." He answereth them, him, and saith, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Thus far we read in God's holy and infallible word. Well, if you would turn back with me, please, to Mark's Gospel and to Mark chapter 9. And our text for this evening is found there in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." In answering this man's plea who came to Jesus concerning his son suffering, Jesus gives him not just to him but to us and to all who would hear the word of Jesus here, the answer to all the suffering that's known to mankind. Faith that is in himself, in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a man, there's obviously a woman somewhere, he has a son. Where is she? We don't know. Perhaps maybe she's given up a long time ago. Perhaps she's weary of the son's wickedness. Maybe perhaps she's left the marital home. And perhaps maybe as a last resort, the father, he brings the son to Jesus and he says to him, "If you can do anything at all to help us, please," he says, "that you would do something." If you were to trace all the sufferings of humanity
All the afflictions that man has to bear in Job, he assures us, surely as the sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. Wherever you find a man, a woman, you will find trouble. It's common to each and every one of us, and of course, as believers, we are not immune to it either, to the common sufferings of humanity. But all those sufferings, all those afflictions come to us as a result of one particular thing, and that is original sin, the sin of our first parents, your parents and mine, Adam and Eve. The common denominator that binds the whole human race together is the fact of sin, common to all of us. That's the root, that's the fountain, that's the source from which comes all the suffering in the world, even death. Whatever it takes, the starvation that we see in parts of the world, the wars, all of it, if you trace it honestly, sincerely back to its root, it will take you to the same place every time. It will take you back to the Garden of Eden and to the place where sin came into the world and all the suffering. And the answer, of course, lies in dealing not just with the effects, which so many of us, of course, are wont to do, and society at large is wont to do, to get rid of the effects, you know. And so often we find, do we not, even in the medical profession, we find them doing this, that they treat the effects, but they never get down to the root. They never get down to the cause. But you see, Jesus here, he goes right down to the root of the matter. He deals not with the effects. He deals with the cause, the root cause, original sin. You deal with that, you see, and the effects disappear. Yeah. Original sin, you see, common to us all. We are each and every one of us. We are conceived, we are born in sin. There's none righteous as God, no, not one. Only God is good, says Jesus. Original sin, the cause of all the evil, all the trouble, all the affliction known to mankind. So the questions arise, of course, but what is it exactly that Jesus means when he says in our verse here this evening, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth? What does he mean in speaking to this man this way? What does he mean by believe? Well, he means that if he believes in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, the possibility of his son's deliverance is a possibility. But even for you and I here this evening, through faith in Jesus Christ, our salvation too is a possibility. For Jesus came to save and to deliver us from sin, not sins just, but sin, original sin, the root matter. But you say, well, what does he mean by believing? Well, believing, number one, believing that Jesus, the person of Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the blessed and holy Trinity, that Jesus Christ alone, that he can, and no other, can save. Exclusively, not inclusively, as many people are taught in our society today. In our multicultural, multi-faith society, well, it doesn't matter, our children are taught in school and college, it matters not what you believe, as long as you believe in something or someone, even if you believe in yourself more. Well, self-belief will certainly get you on in the world. That might get you a better job, but it won't get you right with God. It won't deal with your sin problem. And of course, they are taught, well, all roads lead back to God anyhow, and comparative religion is what they used to call it. It does not matter what religion you believe in, as long as you believe in something, all roads lead back to the same God anyhow. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He says, if you can believe, and you can believe in me, in my person, in my work, that I can deliver you from this evil, then it is a possibility for you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. No one gets right with God, that is, but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus and Jesus alone. If you can believe that He, that Jesus can deliver you from the evil of original sin, then your salvation is possible, says Jesus. Believing too, of course, Jesus would mean secondly, believing that, well, that He had the ability to do this. But of course, who is this that we're speaking about, and who is this who speaks, who utters these words? Well, we read through the rest of the New Testament, the entirety of the Scriptures, in fact, that this is the one through whom everything was made and for whom it was made. This is the Creator. These are things that we must needs learn before we come to breathe our last. That there is no other God but Jesus Christ. That He is your Creator. He is your Lawgiver. He is the one who has the right to command you. He one day will be your judge. And hopefully through faith in His name, He will be your Redeemer. But yes, He has the power, because He created by the word of His mouth. He brought the universe into being in 6 literal days, 24-hour periods, not millions of years. He brought the universe and everything in it into being. Also, as we read through the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we find Him doing the most amazing things. He speaks to disease and it goes away. He commands evil spirits and they disappear. We find Him opening the eyes of the blind. And even those who crucified Him, even those who persecuted Him and harassed and hunted Him to the grave, even they testified, His enemies. No man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did. Jesus. See? We find Him raising the dead to life. Now, if He can create a universe by merely speaking His word, if He can do all this, of which we find in the record of Holy Scripture God's testimony, if He can do this, then surely your sin problem is, I don't say a nothing, but He can deal with it. Believing that He alone, no one else, only Jesus, and believing that He alone and no one else has the power, has the ability, the New Testament tells us, to save to the uttermost, the darkness, the danger, the dirtiness, whatever your sins, however immense and however many, He is able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. And thirdly, Jesus would mean, of course, believing that He is willing. And certainly He is willing. If thou canst believe, He's willing to save any and all who will believe. Any and all who will come to Him in the way of repentance and faith. But of course, His very actions demonstrate a willingness, do they not? His stepping down from heaven's glory into this world to walk among sinful, cursed men, rubbing shoulders with the most evil of men and women. The Son of God and the Son of Man came down into this world to live and to love and to die, to suffer at the hands of men, to be crucified, dead and buried, and raised again from the dead. Doesn't that suggest to you a willingness on the part of Jesus to save and deliver from the evil of sin? Some ask the question, they say, was it the Romans who crucified Jesus? Was it they who put Him on the cross? Or was it the Jews who put Him on the cross? No, it was his own father. His own father. For God so loved the world that he gave up, that is. His only begotten son gave him up to the death of the cross. Oh, it was men who did the deed in their evil and wickedness. They did the deed, but they were simply the means at the hands of God to perform the determinate counsel of God in slaying his son. He so loved the world that he gave his son up to the death of the cross so that you and I, that through faith in his name, Jesus, that is, that we might be right with God, justified, made right with God, reconciled to God through faith in Jesus and faith alone. If thou canst believe, that's all that Jesus asks. You see, people we find in the gospel narratives, they come to Jesus, all kinds of problems, you know, all kinds of distresses, and his answer's the same every single time. Different words, different ways it's put, but the answer is the same. Only believe. Trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith. And faith alone, apart from works. For God has clearly declared in his word that no flesh, no man, no woman will ever be justified, will ever be made right with him through the works of their own hands. Because we, all of us, and everything that we are and everything that we do is tainted with that original sin, and so therefore unacceptable to God. We have bad hearts and we have bad records. And our bad hearts can only be mended, repaired, through faith in the Son of God. And our bad record can only be cleared, washed, wiped away, clean, by the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that cleanseth from all sin. So that's the question of faith, what Jesus means by believe. But then perhaps that raises another question in your mind. Then why is it that it's so difficult? Why do people find it so difficult to believe? If Jesus is so powerful, so mighty, he alone can do this, he is able and he's willing. So what is it that makes it difficult for men and women to believe? Well, part of the problem is, you see, that we are born into this world in sin. We're born with sinful natures, and we have a bias, as it were, away from God, and a bias towards sin. We have sinful natures that need to be dealt. That's why Jesus says that a man, you see, or woman, a person must be born again, you see. The supernatural work and act of God, circumcising the heart, taking the heart of stone out of us, and putting a heart of flesh within us, making us new creatures, recreating us in Christ Jesus, making us new creatures altogether. But until that happens, you see, this bias remains. We have this bent, you see, away from God. We're one of two things. We are either natural-born God-haters with enmity in our hearts against God, or we are supernaturally reborn God-lovers. God must come. God must change our natures. God must change our hearts. God must make us completely and altogether new. And that he does, you see, he declares to do through the gospel and the proclamation of the gospel. Through the coming, for he sent his son for that this may be a possibility with us through faith in the Son of God. But then, of course, some find it hard to accept, you see, that they can only be accepted on the basis of faith. They say, well, surely I must have to do something. Surely I must have to contribute something. Surely I must pay something. Or I must do some kind of work. I must do something to repair the damage that I've made. And this, of course, is, well, nothing short of religion, you see, but religion just doesn't do it. You see, it's simply and only by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou canst believe this thing, says Jesus, is possible to the person who believes. But only faith. For we have nothing, absolutely nothing at all that we can offer to God that would be acceptable to him. Nothing we can pay. We have a debt of love that we owe to God. The first commandment is that we should love God with all our heart, soul, strength and mind. If we haven't done that every single day of our lives, every moment of every day, every hour of every day, that mounts up a massive debt of love that we owe to God that we could never pay. And that's just the first commandment. Absolutely nothing in my hand I bring, simply to your cross I cling. Trusting not in what you can do, I can do, trusting only in the work of Jesus, what he himself has done, accomplished in his death and resurrection. Nothing else is acceptable to God. And believing, of course, that it's faith, and faith alone that justifies, that makes a man or makes a woman right with God. You see, to justify something or someone is to make them right, you see. We're not right. Born naturally into this world, you see, we are unrighteous to a man, to a woman, and all of our deeds, you see, are unrighteous, not right. Well, to justify someone before God is to make them right with God. And it's through faith in Jesus, the whole of the entirety of the New Testament, the message is absolutely clear. Only through faith in the Son of God can a man or woman be made right with God. The moment that a sinner believes in Jesus, you see, the Father, he dons the judge's cap, you see, and he brings the gavel down, and he makes the declaration. He says, not just not guilty, that doesn't go far enough. He says, righteous, altogether righteous, just as if you had never sinned. And that is a declaration from God the Father, and a declaration that stands for time, for eternity, that is utterly irreversible. Justified forever. Through faith, believing. If thou canst believe all things, even your deliverance from the evil of original sin, your root in sin, and your sinful practice, all things are possible to him that believeth. So allow me to give you one or two matters of assistance in the pathway in the direction of faith. Some things that might help you in believing the message of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. It's God's scheme, it's not a message of human devising. The more and more you study and meditate upon it, the more and more you come to understand that there is a wisdom here that's beyond anything that humanity could ever possibly dream up. It's God's eternal plan, you see. Before the foundation of the world, it was all schemed. If I might put it in human terms, you know, there's a conference with the members of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Father, he speaks of this humanity that he will create, you see, and how they will rebel against him, you see. And the Son, he steps forward and he says, I'll go down, I'll become one of them, And I will work out their salvation. And the Holy Spirit, he says, and I shall make sure that it is believed. Yeah? All schemed and planned by God before the foundation of the world, you see. The resurrection, you see, of Jesus, it wasn't an exigency plan, you know, that, or something's gone wrong, so better do something. It was all planned out to the utmost detail. And it's all prophesied there in the Old Testament. You see, you go to the book of Isaiah, for instance, Isaiah chapter 53, there the prophet, hundreds and hundreds of years before Calvary, before the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And there the prophet, he draws this beautiful word picture, you see, of Calvary, and he does everything but put the name Jesus over the cross. See, it was all predicted hundreds of years. And just as the Old Testament prophets, Moses and the prophets too, as they spoke concerning the Son of God, as to how he would come and what he would do, so it was accomplished. It's God's plan. And we have the testimony. We have the testimony of Scripture. You know, we have the Word of God. This is the record that comes to us from God, from the God who does not and cannot lie. This is the testimony concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. It wasn't dreamed up by Moses or the apostles. It wasn't dreamed up by the prophets or by the church through the centuries. It is God's self-attested, self-authenticated, and proved, demonstrated again and again and again down through the years to be exactly what it is, the Word of God, and effectual to bring about the salvation of precious, precious souls. Oh, beloved, how we need to have confidence in the Word of God. Hasn't the church lost confidence in the Word of God? There was a Jewish doctor in America. He came to a pastor who's over in California. And this Jewish doctor, he had been involved in thousands upon thousands of abortions. He had made millions out of this business. And all of a sudden he finds himself, for some unknown reason, he can't explain it, but he feels so guilty about this. And he goes to psychos, he goes to social workers, he tries everybody. And he comes to the pastor's name with John MacArthur, you may have heard of him. And he came to John and he tells him the story. He said to Pastor John, he said, can you help me? Pastor John looked at him and he said, no, I can do absolutely nothing for you. And John said, I just let that sink in for a moment. He said, and the despair just filled his face. And then I said to him, but he said, I know somebody who can. I know somebody who can. And he gave him a copy of the Bible. And he told this little Jewish doctor, he said to him, I want you to go away, he said, and I want you to read John's Gospel. He said, and I want you to read it, he said, with this question at the front of your mind. Who is Jesus Christ? He says, and I want you to read it over and over and over again for as long as it takes. I don't want to see you back in my office until you can tell me who Jesus Christ is. So away went this Jewish doctor to read John's Gospel. In the meantime, Pastor John, he's telling other ministers about this Jewish doctor and how he'd encountered him. And these other men are berating John MacArthur. They say, what? All you gave him was a Bible? Didn't you give him something to help him to understand it? So much for confidence in God's word. John says, no, I gave him God's word. That's all I gave him. A couple of months later, the Jewish doctor's back in his office, and John looks at him and says, well, okay, tell me who Jesus is. He said, I don't know what you mean, he says, it's plain, he's God. And John looks at him and he says, what? You, a Jew, you're telling me that Jesus Christ is God? He says, yeah. So he says, okay, big deal. He says, tell me then. He says, so what? You know, what does that mean for you then? Well, again, he says, I don't know what you mean. He says, but listen, he says, the woman I was living with, she's gone. He says, the wife and kids are on their way home. Yeah. My resignation's gone into the abortion clinic. That's finished. See what I mean? His life had already transformed by the power of God's word, the gospel. He believed in Jesus. Yeah. He was delivered from his sin and his sins. And of course, we could talk about, well, you've got some testimony times coming up ahead in your notices, Helen Shapiro. But of course, there are many others, and some, dear, I dare say, who could stand up here this afternoon and testify as to what Jesus Christ, through faith, through simply believing on his name and his work, the gospel, the good news, has done for them. How they have been delivered, how they have found forgiveness, and how they have found the assurance of a home in heaven. How they have got now what they never had before. They have the life of God in their souls and the love of God in their hearts, you see. And all the religion and all the human works that you can possibly think of and devise can never, never do that. Religion just does not cut it. Only the gospel. Only the good news about Jesus. And good news it is. It's the grace of God, you see, in giving his Son, grace alone, the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, through faith alone, apart from works, in Christ alone. The Reformation war cry. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone. It's that that justifies, that makes a man right with God, that removes the frown from the face of God and brings a beaming smile upon you. If thou canst believe, it's kind of like Jesus is throwing this question back at this guy, you know. This guy's saying, look, Lord, he said, if you can help us, please, you know, do something to help us. It's like Jesus is answering him with a question. What do you mean, can I do something to help you? That's not the question. Can you believe? That's the question. Because if you can, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Let's sing as we come to a conclusion then this evening, number 14. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord.